the House of Representatives. More heavy lifting ahead of us, and the Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 23rd day, Thursday, February 9th, 2017. Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Beitman.
Here.
Blackburn. Blake.
Here.
Bovee.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Clausen.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Air.
Here.
Flitner.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Furphy.
Here.
Garou.
Here.
Gray.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Haley.
Here.
Hallinan.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Henderson.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kinner.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Larson Lloyd.
Here.
Larson Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lone.
Here.
Laux. McGuire, Madden, McKim, Miller, Nicholas, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Piperinen, Ponell, Salazar, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Sweeney, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Blackburn.
Here.
We have 60 present.
Nice. Nicely done. Members, if you could please stand, we have the pleasure to have Reverend Mark Marston with us again today from First United Methodist Church.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. We rejoice, O Lord in heaven, for your Holy Spirit which works in our lives and in our activities. Into each day, week, and month and year, you are with us. Help us to go on with our lives, with you in our lives. We ask that we may bring you into every task, into every opportunity, every challenge, every issue. Our Lord, we know that we face no mountain, climb no hill, slay no dragon, when you are not with us. And for this, we are thankful. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's come to order. We have no nurse of the day, but we do have a doctor of the day, Malia Marcotti from Cheyenne. Welcome to the house. And doctor, if I pronounce your name wrong, did I do that? It's close. You can correct me, and you can see on my name tag, I'm Speaker Hammerhead. If I mispronounced your name, I apologize, and I'll get it right on her in a few minutes. So thank you for being here today. We, as I said, we have no nurse of the day, but before I introduce our next guest, if you saw last night, we had four song leaders at the end of the session, and the Cowboys took four overtimes to win. I don't know. There's something there, I think. So started a new tradition, I believe. Are there any privileges of the floor? Representative Ayer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to have you introduce to you the beautiful mother of our six children sitting in the gallery today, Ann. And I'm glad she's here. Say hello to Ann.
Welcome to the house. Okay, I have just a little privilege. It gives me great privilege to introduce an old friend of the House of Representatives. Meade Stupson is our honorary page today. Now, Meade is a seventh grader in Casper at Casper Classical Academy, and he plays piano and also plays linebacker. And I think that's a beautiful combination. And he also runs track. And of course, he's not a stranger to these chambers. And so Meade is, he's got some wonderful pins on today. He's got the American flag and the Wyoming State flag, and he's also got a little Pride and Excellence pin, even though it's Thursday. But Meade, we really appreciate you coming down today. We appreciate you working for us today, and you'll do a lot of great work. And his mother is here. There she is. Yeah, she's actually filming this. His mother, Susan. Welcome to the house, Susan. And as I always say, I mean, there's nothing better than watching your kids do stuff. So we appreciate you being here to watch Meade in action. He'll do a great job as usual. Okay, with that, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess briefly while the majority party convenes in L-54 and caucuses.
Okay, the House will stand in recess until the sound of the gavel as the majority party will move to L-54.
Correct, Mr. Speaker.
L-54. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The House is in recess until the sound of the gavel. Okay, the House come to order. We are on that order business of Senate files on first reading. Oh, I skipped over Journal Committee report. I'm gently reminded by the Chief Clerk. We're on that order business of Journal Committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 8, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Gray and Representative Giroux.
Now we are on that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 124.
Senate File 124, introduced by Senator Kinski, Taxation of Sale and Lease Transaction.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to sales and use tax.
Senate File 124 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 134.
Senate File 134, introduced by Senator Wassenberger, School Finance Class Size Waivers.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school finance.
Senate File 134 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 118.
Senate File 118, introduced by Senator Dockstader, Food Freedom Act Sales Locations.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Food Freedom Act.
Senate File 118 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 169.
Senate File 169, introduced by Senator Dockstader, Migratory Bird Refuge.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 169 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 92.
Senate File 92, introduced by Senator Pappas, Local Governments Plan Review Authority.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to fire protection.
Senate File 92 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 96.
Senate File 96, introduced by Senator Pappas, Real Estate Brokers and Salespersons.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to professions and occupations.
Senate File 96 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 138.
Senate File 138, introduced by Senator Pappas. Certified Public Accountants Amendments.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to professions and occupations.
Senate File 138 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 170.
Senate File 170, introduced by Senator Dockstader, Unmanned Aircraft.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to aeronautics.
Senate File 170 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by Senator Case, Motor Vehicle Franchises Exception.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 57 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 119.
Senate File 119, introduced by Senator Coe, Grand Teton National Park, Transfer of State Lands.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state lands.
Senate File 119 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 127.
Senate File 127, introduced by Senator Pappas, Exterior Residential Storm Damage Repair Contracts.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to consumer protection.
Senate File 127 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 156.
Senate File 156, introduced by Senator Perkins, State Government Efficiencies.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 156 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 2.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, introduced by Senator Driscoll, Federal Land, Wind, and Solar Energy Revenues, State Share.
First reading of the resolution.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to enact legislation requiring revenues received by the federal government from wind and solar energy developments
on lands of the United States to be shared equally with the state in which those developments are located.
Senate Joint Resolution number 2 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 89.
Senate File 89, introduced by Senator Landon, Presumptive Disability for Firefighters.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to labor and employment.
Senate File 89 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 150.
Senate File 150, introduced by Senator Nethercott, Long-Acting Reversible Contraception.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to family planning.
Senate File 150 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for two re-referrals on Senate File 42 and Senate File 105 to Committee Number 2.
Senate File 42 and 105 are re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Any other announcements? Any other re-referrals? We are at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Senate File 107, introduced by Senator Perkins, Probate Code Amendments, an act relating to the probate. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 107, engrossed, Probate Code Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Pownell, Salazar, and Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. Senate File 158, Depositions by Telephone, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to evidence and witnesses. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 158, Depositions by Telephone, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Pelkey, Pownell, Salazar, and Winters. No, Representative Olson. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. Senate File 4, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, Water Projects, Map and Plat Filing Requirements, an act relating to appropriations of water. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 4, engrossed, Water Projects, Map and Plat Filing Requirements, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Claussen, Gray, Haley, Henderson, Hunt, Larson, McKim, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Steinmetz, Acting Chairman. Senate File 103, introduced by Senator Meyer, Water Project Repayment, an act relating to water development. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 103, engrossed, Water Project Repayment, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Claussen, Gray, Haley, Henderson, Hunt, Larson, McKim, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Steinmetz, Acting Chairman. Senate File 126, introduced by Senator Coe, Guides and Outfitters Penalties, an act relating to guides and outfitters. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Blitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Senate File 139, introduced by Senator Pappas, Game and Fish Licenses, an act relating to game and fish licenses. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 139, Game and Fish Licenses, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Allen, Flitner, Freeman, Giroux, Haley, McGuire. Noes, Representatives Clem, Halverson, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Senate File 78, introduced by Senator Bebout, Federal Natural Resource Policy Account, an act relating to public funds. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 78, engrossed, Federal Natural Resource Policy Account, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. No, Representative Byrd. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. Senate File 132, introduced by Senator Bebout, Endow Initiative, an act relating to economic diversification. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 132, engrossed, Endow Initiative, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, Laux. No, Representative Gray. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. Our very first ones this session. We are on Enrolled Act Number 1. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 1, being Original House Bill 16, an act relating to small claims procedures.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 1, Original House Bill 16. So signed. The next enrolled act is Enrolled Act Number 2.
Enrolled Act Number 2, being Original House Bill 17, an act relating to adult protective services, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 2, Original House Bill 17. I have so signed. The next enrolled act is Enrolled Act Number 3. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 3, being Original House Bill 18, an act relating to child protection, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 3, Original House Bill 18. I'm so sorry. The next enrolled act is Enrolled Act Number 4. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 4, being Original House Bill 25, an act relating to agriculture, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 4, Original House Bill Number 25. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Enrolled Act Number 5.
Enrolled Act Number 5, being Original House Bill 83, an act relating to health care licensing and operations, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 5, Original House Bill 83. I've so signed. The next enrolled act is Enrolled Act Number 6. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 6, being Original House Bill 71, an act relating to unemployment compensation, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 6, being Original House Bill 71. I've so signed. We're at that order of business. Actually, I have a committee announcement. Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer Senate File 132 in Dow to Committee Number 2 Appropriations.
Senate File 132 is re-referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations. We're at that order of business of Senate files on General File. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, your general file today is the yellow sheet in your yellow booklet. The first five bills are Senate File 5, Senate File 6, Senate File 7, Senate File 9, and Senate File 10. We're going to continue on that list. I've talked to the sponsors on about the first dozen bills. If you're after that and you have any concerns of whether you're ready for introduction on the floor, on committee of the whole, let me know and we can move it around a little bit. But other than that, we'll stick to the list. Mr. Speaker, with that, I move the House resolve itself to the committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Representative Kenner.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. And like the speaker said a moment ago, heavy lifting for the people of Wyoming. Here we go. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 5. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 5, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Banking Revisions, an act relating to banks, banking, and finance. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 5, engrossed, Banking Revisions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Clausen, Crank, Ayer, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. No, Representative Gray. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises a report, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 5 do pass. And there is a standing committee amendment that I will quickly dispense with. So, Mr. Chairman, I move standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File number 5, and I will do a quick explanation. What the committee did was just a little bit of a tidy up of some language on page 16, line 16. What you'll see is in subsection A, beginning on line 12, we talk in terms of five or more adult persons. And then when we drop down into section B, the language that was inserted said the incorporators or members forming a trust company. And for consistency purposes, the committee made this amendment to say the persons forming a trust company. And so with that, I'll take any questions on the standing committee amendment or call for the question.
Question having been called on a standing committee amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, standing committee passes. We're back on the bill.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the explanation of the bill, I'll turn it over to the fine gentleman from House District 41.
Oh, there he is. Representative Henderson, you were too close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning. I'd like to start by just giving a little bit of background. This is a bill that's a catch-up. I mean, it's an update. It was really vetted and referred to us by the Joint Committee as a result of interim study. And there's a couple of things here that I want to point out as we go through it. One question might be, how does it differ from the, it's an engrossed bill, so what's the main difference with the original bill? If you look at the first page of the original bill and the repealer on the last page of this bill, basically what they did was is they repealed, in Statute 13.1502M, and what that has to do with is registration of ATMs across the state. And I've contacted the banking commissioner, and he's explained to me that because of the asset increase in asset value and revenues related to that, the loss of revenue from the fees associated with this registration is not going to be an impact. So the other main thing that I'd ask you to keep in mind is this has to do with a result of a careful review, as I said, but also the concept of allowing the banking commission to set fees by rule and regulation. And you'll see that as we go through the bill. Another area that's of interest is it increased the amount of capital that a bank is required by a bank for, up to $5 million. We'll cover that as we go through. And then finally, it has to do with some details related to specific parts of the code as we go through. So if you just turn to the first page there, you'll see the rather lengthy background. So going to page 2, as I said, in section 1 there, the repealer 13.1702M is eliminated. And there, on the next page, page 3, it authorizes the commissioner, to assign one or more deputies to assist him when he's or she is occupied elsewhere. And then the bottom of that page is key because this is where it talks about authorizing them to establish fees by rule and regulation. Then go on to page 4, you'll see we start going through the various sections there. The first section is the application filing fee. At the top of the page, you can see the new wording relating to establishing a rule and regulation for that fee. And the bottom of the page is just updating the wording to conform with that. Next page, 13.2.210, emergency charters fees, same thing there. Bottom of that page, 13.2.212, turning over to the next page, page 6, and you see where that's the same phrase inserted there, rule and regulation. Now, looking at the next section, 13.2.301, requirements as to capitals, like I said, what we're doing here is we're updating the statutes. Over time, the statute is one place, and then things happen, years go by, and so now we have a different economic situation, and so now the requirement is for $5 million to apply in capital. At the bottom of the page, this is a key thing, is to make sure that each director of the bank, within 30 days of being assigned as the director, has to file with the commissioner, as you see there, an item for the record. I think it's a form prescribed by the commissioner. So that's the new requirement. The next page, you'll see where the other body has inserted some additional language, and we want to take a close look at this. 13.2702, and you see down there subsection G on line 13, line 20, subsection H, on the next page, subsection J. These are added in from the original bill. And you can read there where they've deleted some language to clean it up. 13.2803, the next section, it refers to really tidying up the language. Commissioner, and pay the fee established pursuant to Wyoming Statute 13.2702B, which we already went by and talked about. Next page, 13.2805, notice and filing requirements, as you see there, again, by rule and regulation. Next page, section 13.3201, acquisition of real estate. Now, this is one that you want to take a closer look at. This has to do with the idea that, you know, property is higher value now, and banks have a requirement to make sure that they keep on their books an accurate appraisal of the value of the property that the bank owns. And so what this does is it increases the amount of the property value where they have to go and get an appraisal. Some of these appraisals can cost as much as $5,000. Below that, section 13.3204, operating subsidiaries, again, a fee. Update there with the rule and regulation. Next page, 13.3402. Here's a key point. This has to do with compliance. A bank is required to maintain a certain amount of assets with regard to a percentage of its total. And so with the dynamics of banking operations, you know, it's not that hard for having a loan originated one day, and then if you take, say, the bank's total asset value is $5 million and it's, 20% of that, then the next day something else happens. They could be out of compliance inadvertently because of bank business. So what this is referring to the point in time of the origination of the loan so they stay in compliance. So reading there, except as otherwise provided, no bank shall permit any person, firm, partnership, association, or corporation to become indebted at origination to the bank in an amount exceeding 20% of the amount of the capital stock of the bank actually paid in and unimpaired, plus 20% of its unimpaired surplus fund, plus 20% of its unimpaired undivided profits. As I say, this has been carefully vetted during the interim and looked at by the banking commissioner, and I'm confident with the testimony of the banking commissioner during committee that we're good to go on this. The next section is 13.3702, inspection of banks. That's another update on line 16, page 13, by rule and regulation. Next section, 13.4101, change in place of business. At the top of the next page there, 14, by rule and regulation. Next section, 13.4102, amendment to articles of incorporation. Now this here is referring, what this is doing is it's up in the title of the position that's used to record the articles of amendment from a cashier and so on to, as you see, an executive officer. This would be a bank officer in the bank. The next page, section 13.4104, at the bottom there, the phrase by rule and regulation. Next page is the one we just talked about with the good chairman on the amendment, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Next page, page 17, 13.5103, established pursuant to that section there that you see. And then down at the bottom there, by rule and regulation on section 13.5116, voluntary dissolution of a trust company. Now, over on page 19 at the top there, you see the new language at the end there where it's talking about a penalty, really. If they fail to report so much a day, $25 per day, the report's overdue, or such other greater amount as established by rule and regulation of the commissioner. At the bottom of the page, 13.5209, again, updating to reflect the phrase by rule and regulation. And over on the next page, section 13.5217, same by rule and regulation. Down at the bottom here, this is something to take note of. What this has to do with is 13.5219 is if a trust company is established from another state and they come into our state and they want to establish it, this requires that it can happen as so long as there's a reciprocity. It's a reciprocal arrangement where our requirements are also allowed in the other state. Going to the next page, 13.8103, another fee established by rule and regulation. Section at the bottom there, 13.8105, another fee by rule and regulation. Update. Next section, 13.8107. Another update there on line 12 and 13, established by rule and regulation. Okay. Okay, I see nobody at the... Oh, wait a minute. There is somebody at the podium. I thought I'd wore you all out. I'll pause and wait for a question.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So you go to page 3 of this bill, body. I'd like you to turn there and take a look. This is basically a philosophical shift of how they're going to fund basically this portion of banking. And so if you look on pages 1 through 9, the commissioner, I'll read the old language, the commissioner may employ a deputy commissioner who in the absence or disability shall exercise all powers of the commissioner. It now says the commissioner may employ one or more deputy commissioners, so kind of an unlimited ability to hire. And then in the next rest of the bill, basically, it allows these fees to be set by rule and regulation with no throttle on that. By a throttle, I mean it doesn't say we can only raise these fees 20% a year, 30% a year, 50% of a year. And so I guess we had this discussion, you know, in the interim on this issue, and I guess my question to the bringer of the bill is how do we react to that? Because this is a philosophical shift on how we're funding this. And so if I could hear a little more discussion on that debate that took place in committee. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to the fee structure, absolutely that is a change. And you can see that throughout the legislation, that is an aspect that the Minerals Committee took, and this is something that was studied over the interim. So who are we looking at that's being regulated in this piece of legislation? 42 banks statewide. And those 42 banks statewide were part of this conversation the whole way through. And, in fact, they're on and for this piece of legislation, the ones being regulated, because they are the ones that deal with this commission each and every day. So I guess when it comes down to being regulated by rule, that's a lot quicker to turn around. If you go too far, that's a lot quicker to turn around and back that up than it is in statute. We all know how long it takes to get something through statute. We meet once a year, and it is a grueling process. Versus rule and reg, we can fix something pretty quick in that regard. So just something to think about.
Vice Chairman Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a real fundamental shift in how we are doing business here, and I just want to hear the good reason why maybe the legislature would want to give our authority to the commission to establish these fees rather than retain it and keep that control in the hands of duly elected officials. Thank you.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to serve on the Minerals Committee during the interim. Very happy to be back there now. We did question this extensively in our committee meeting here during the session, and I want to, even though he's left the room, I'll address his first question of the majority whip. He pointed out about the deputy commissioners. Well, please keep in mind that this division falls under the Department of Audit, and this the number of FTEs, their Series $100, you know, to pay for salaries, all of that still reports to the Appropriations Committee. So there is no carte blanche authority to hire additional employees. You still have the oversight of our budget committee to determine if FTEs are expanded or not. So that is not a runaway component, and the good majority whip will be one of those people making sure those FTEs do not increase. I am sleep very comfortably at night knowing that. The other component on the fees is a legitimate question raised with that. However, with the testimony that we went through, again, about 50% of the fees that are raised for the oversight or that are levied are the supervisory assessments. So the rest of these are different set fees for applying to become a bank or different institutions. And again, keep in mind, as a small group being regulated here, who are very much in favor of this legislation, the people being regulated are in favor of it, and they're looking at that flexibility. If a shift occurred within the economy that happened very quickly, that they would be able to address that, be much more nimble to address it, rather than the slower legislative process. So I put that out there for the consideration, and the questions were asked, and those were the responses that we received.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just to touch on the rulemaking process once again, the process begins with the State Banking Board's approval. Then all state bankers receive direct notification and have the opportunity to officially comment on any proposed rules for the Division of Banking, and then a hearing can be requested. Additionally, on top of that, the AG's office, our staff, and the executive all have the power to approve or deny any rules changes. We have that power already in place. Any rules change that happen already come through this body. So there's complete transparency in that regard. Other states that are doing that around us, I can't make up enough isms to name all of these states, but there's a lot of them around us. So if you'd like to see that list, come talk to me.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A different question. On page 12, the bringer of the bill talked about the change in 133402 about the indebtedness limitations. And I understand that the wording was just changed from at any time to origination. But if I could just have explained to me some of the previous, there's the already existing restrictions, because I'm not in this field. So if you had a bank with an average a stock of, say, $5 million, not exceeding 20% of that amount plus 20% of the unimpaired surplus fund and 20% of the unimpaired undivided profits, if someone could maybe just run a little math example for me of what that ends up to be, because I don't understand those.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a good question. And so I'll provide an example that was provided to us by the banking commissioner. So we have a bank of any town with the total capital, common stock surplus, retained earnings of $5 million. Legal lending limit is 20% of that, or $1 million. They make a ranch land loan, number one, to bank customer on December 1st at their lending limit. $1 million with an annual payment. The bank operating expense at loss as of January 31 is $250,000. So the new total capital as of January 31 would be $4,750,000, and the new legal lending limit as of January 31 would be $950,000. So the ranch land loan, number one, now in violation of the law by $50,000, since no payment is due, because it's an annual payment. Now, that's a $50,000 payment. Quality is unchanged. No additional funds or loans to the customer can be originated. So what the statute is trying to do is to allow for the dynamics of that situation by authorizing the requirement in the statute to maintain 20% of the original amount at the point of origination. Hopefully that answers your question.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is with regard to, I guess it's the top of page 7, starts on the pop, but this is a requirement for capital. I'd like to understand the discussion that was held about, around what is the capital. There was a number thrown out there of how many banks fall under this, but a beginning bank, someone that wanted to start a bank, organize a bank, is $5 million a reasonable place, or are we limiting opportunity for banks to come into this to be established? That'd be my first question. My second question is, on page 11, there's a section 201 that talks about the appraised value of property, and it's going from $50,000 to $250,000 as far as having a appraiser, certified appraiser, do that. And this is not saying they couldn't use a certified appraiser for less than that amount. This is just establishing a base for that. And I'm just wondering what the discussion was around that particular number. So both numbers, both the $5 million and the $250, what their relevance is to the to one, entry into the market for the first number, and two, you know, just how that number was selected. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the first question in requirements as to capital, that's on page 6 of your legislation, 132301. The current $500,000 minimum capital is an unrealistically low amount and never actually received regulatory approval as part of a bank charter application on the federal level. Practically speaking, the proposed $5 million is really the bare minimum that would be considered by both the Division of Banking and the FDI, third letter in the alphabet. This section deals with the organization of banks and does not impact existing state chartered banks. So it's a very realistic number, $5 million in today's terms, from considering this $500,000 was set decades ago, $5 million is very realistic. Going on to the second question on 133201, acquisition of real estate, specifically the $50,000 threshold was set over 30 years ago. For a normal 1-to-4 family real estate loan transaction, the de minimis amount for which an appraisal is required in federal law is $250,000, $1 million for commercial real estate. The proposed amount is $250,000 to be consistent with that bottom level.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate all the hard work that the committee did in the interim in drafting this legislation. However, I see a big red flag, and that big red flag really does exist on page number 3. And I'd like to articulate this if I can. I want to focus primarily on the two of our three branches of government, the executive and legislative branch, co-equal. But there's a separation of powers. The legislative branch, by and large, that's us, that's this body, sets the policy, and the executive branch, therefore, then implements that policy. I think you're all with me so far. The Banking Commission, as I understand it, is appointed by the executive branch to help carry out that policy. Furthermore, they exist off of the fees that are generated by what's implemented by the policy that's created by the legislative branch. You with me so far? So here's the problem that I see. Is we're actually giving our authority to the executive branch, saying you can now create policy when it comes to fees by rule and regulation. We're abdicating our authority and giving it to the executive branch. Furthermore, again, they exist off of these fees that they generate, and now we're saying you can set those fees. You see a problem there. So while the Good Minerals Committee put a lot of work into this over the interim. I, if this bill should go forward, I can't in good conscience vote for this piece of legislation if that is left in there. And I hope there can be some discussion on exactly what went on in the interim. How was this discussed? And if there was any pushback in regards to this kind of conversation, the separation of powers between the legislative branch, who determines policy, and the executive branch, which implements that policy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, was not a member of the committee during the interim, and I'll take your question and do my best to get the information that you're asking for. I would point out, though, the division's budget is subject to legislative oversight. through our appropriation process. The budget cannot be expanded without the legislative and governor approval. The division's budget has not increased in the past four bienniums other than legislatively approved pay raises for state employees. So I think there is oversight. I think there's a reasonable purpose here in being cautious as far as what we're about to consider. But I'm told that it's been well vetted, and I will look into getting more information to address the good representative's question.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to comment on the remarks by my good colleague from the land of coal. He's right, and this body does set policy. And what is the policy of this particular commission? It is regulate banks. Okay, just keep them in compliance with the federal regulations. They have the oversight. They go in, they audit the books, they make sure they got good loans. They make sure that the banks don't run into a situation where the doors are chained up and locked. It's their job. Okay, many times that's the policy that we have set, that we've decided to have that oversight and that regulation. Many times, and you look through this, we establish rules and regulations of how to implement that policy, the detail on how to implement that policy. So that's not out, that's nothing unusual at all. It's a rulemaking process, a public comment. We have a mechanism so that we review those rules within this body, okay? And so to me, that's what we do, okay? There are times where we don't want to relinquish those rights, and I understand that. Now, with respect to living off the fees or existing on the fees, absolutely right. This is a department within a budget that lives off of other funds, the OF that we see on our budget. And they are tightly controlled. They cannot increase their salaries without the approval of the JEC, or like we had done the legislative raises a couple years ago. Okay, they cannot increase the number of FTEs, the number of employees, without the legislative oversight. They cannot increase their budget in any way, shape, or form without the JEC doing that. So we're not giving them a blank check with this. Okay, there are a few members remaining from the interim, and I'll let them make their comments on that. But I just did want to make some comments about that. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Mr. Chairman, I was on this interim committee, and I can assure the body that we did vet this, that there were a lot of questions asked. And I'm continuing to ask some of them questions, these questions, because I continue to have some concerns. And I want to go back to the section on page 12, 13-3-402, that was discussed earlier by my co-appropriation member. And I really think this is at least it appears to me, and I'm not a banker, so those good bankers in the audience can help me out. But this seems like a policy shift as well. The way I read it is the way it used to be that, except as otherwise provided, no bank shall permit any person, firm, partnership, or association, corporation to become indebted at any time, is what it used to say, to the bank in an amount exceeding 20% of the amount of the capital stock of the bank or paid in and unimpaired plus 20% of its unimpaired. So it's kind of it seems to me like kind of a regulator to ensure that there's money, the money behind the bank is consistent with the loans that the bank is generating. And so when we say change this to origination, what if that individual or that firm or that corporation initiates a loan at one time, and then we have another loan that comes on another time and another loan that comes on at another time and another time, and pretty quick we've exceeded that 20% capacity? So I'm not sure, because I'm not a banker, I'm not sure that how that affects the bottom line of the bank and then the bottom line of all those people that are involved in that bank. So this seems to be a policy shift that I never quite fully understood well enough in the interim and understood the effects upon the customers of banks and the liquidity of banks in the end. So I know we have some good bankers in here that can probably help me get through this. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, was on the interim committee for the discussion of this bill. And I, as I recall, there's an overall reserve account that the banks have in addition to the individual requirements that's put into place for individual loans. And so the overall assessment would have to, as they make loans to individuals not to exceed the 20% at the time of origin, they still have the overall reserve accounts as well. I think, as I heard the discussion during the interim, the one thing that I appreciated is that we still go through a public comment process as they come up with the rules and regulations. And we see this on just about all of our agencies where through rules and regulations, we do provider rates, reimbursement rates. We do a lot of regulations that then go out to public comment. Then if there is comment, then that's, again, reviewed at management audit or management council if there's a real issue that comes up. And so we have the ability to still intervene if we think that there is the potential of mischief. I guess I didn't come away from the discussions during the interim with a lot of anxiety over them being able to do the changes through rules and regulations. I do agree with my good friend from over the mountain that it is a shift and a change in policy, and I think that that's really kind of probably the biggest thing we're voting on in this bill today is not so much as it's just a shift from where we have been in how we oversee these changes.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having sat on this committee in the interim and listening to this bill being thoroughly vetted by all the people that it affects, one important point for this body is industry is supportive of this. The banking community is supportive of these changes and these moves in this direction because it allows them some flexibility in this category where we talked about earlier. I'm not going to rehash the whole situation for you, but in that sense, in that point where they may have reached their upper lending limit and their customers' asset values dip below there by market conditions, they're still in compliance with the rules. So we're giving them a little bit of flexibility. The Banking Commission is about as conservative and slow as a group that could be in state government. And so they're not going to make any unnecessary risk. It's their job to make sure all of these entities that they oversee are well-funded and well-managed. And they will be the first people to sit down with a bank as they approach this threshold. But take a look at what we're trying to do here. We meet every couple years. The financial markets move up and down, and the flexibility that these guys need to do their jobs and do them effectively is just enormous inside that period of time. We got to be careful that we don't overstep our bounds and hamstring these guys and limit them to do what they need to do inside the regulation of this industry. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I heard testimony earlier from the good committee member about 42 or 43 institution banks that were involved in the interim discussions. I'd like a little more detail on that. Specifically, I'd really like to know if there were any community banks involved. And the next thing I'd like to know is, was there any objection? As this bill was being born, did anyone say, no, I don't like that part? Or was there consensus? Was there any objection to any aspect of this bill by any of the banks involved in formulating this. And I would like to, again, see the names of the banks involved and know specifically if there were any small community banks involved. Thank you.
Representative Henderson.
I'll get that information for you. I don't know if the folks who are attending the meetings would know that, but I'll definitely get that information for you.
Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought I would explain on Section 13.3402 the purpose of changing to origination versus at any time. So basically, as was discussed before, if the bank itself, their capital is reduced for whatever reason, the way it was written before, and you had a customer at your lending limit prior to the change in capital, you had to call the loan. You had to bring your borrower in and say, you've got to pay your loan down to the new capital levels. And so, of no fault of the customer, you were forcing them to pay down their loan. So, if you do it at origination, they can stay during the term of their loan at that level and pay it down. Now, when the bank's capital is reduced, if you renew that loan, you do have to have them brought into compliance with the new capital levels. But usually a bank's reduction in capital is only temporary, and so they usually restore it back. So I hope that answers the question.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And just to answer the question of the good representative who shares my county, the association that represents bankers attended all these meetings, and as far as it was represented to us, there were no banks or bankers that were in opposition to this bill. I had my own questions and concerns on the bill, but certainly I heard nothing from bankers in opposition to this bill.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Greer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 5 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No?
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand.
I count too. Do I count? Okay.
Thank you. All those opposed, please stand. Less than 35. Thank you. Senate file number 5 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 6. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 6. Introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Radioactive Waste Storage Facilities Amendments. An act relating to radioactive waste storage facilities. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 6, engrossed, Radioactive Waste Storage Facilities Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Greer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises report to do so, the recommendation at Senate File 6 do pass. There is no standing committee amendment, and I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the fine gentleman from House District 44.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and body. I bring you Senate File number 6, Radioactive Waste Storage Facilities Amendments, something that's going to make you feel warm and fuzzy when we're done. Let's start off with just a brief explanation of what we're doing here. Over the last few years, we've kind of placed ourselves in a position and stepped up our game for getting into the nuclear market with mining materials and those sort of things, and realizing that the whole nuclear industry, that group that runs off of that river that begins with P on the East Coast, is really, they're not doing their job. They've created a whole bunch of problems for the existing industry inside, the existing nuclear industry. So what has happened is they originally had planned to put that material in that state where we all go to lose money with the bright lights, and that place that's named after a cactus. And that was the original final storage place for this. But as they do in that city back on that eastern part of this country, they've kind of just sputzed around with it until the project got hamstring and kind of killed. So we don't have any clear policy for where to store this stuff. So the temporary hold on it is each one of the facilities is required to hold and store their own materials. In most cases, or actually in all cases, that's not a real problem because the type of casts, if you will, that they're storing this in are pretty strong things. They've been tested very well, and they can hold these things. They are above ground storage. If anybody would like to see pictures of these, I can circulate some pictures later. But that's basically what we're talking about is that type of waste. Now let's move to what the bill does. Is the bill takes our existing language and statutes out of section Wyoming statutes. Just a minute. Wyoming statutes 35.11.15.01 through 15.8. And basically what we're doing is making some modifications to this. And I'll read you real quickly the enacting clause. An act relating to radioactive waste storage facilities, increasing the initial application deposit amount, authorizing the director to apply for other funds as specified, amending deadlines and public hearing, emphasize on the public hearing. Requirements and reports for the siting of high-level radioactive waste facilities, removing obsolete language, increasing the fees related to feasibility amendments. So that's basically what we're doing. We're establishing a framework. We're not going out there and saying, yep, bring all your stuff to Wyoming right now, we're accepting it. No, what we're doing is we're preparing for in the event that we decide that we want to go down this route, we're going to have rules and the framework, basically the fence lines in place. And so what we're doing with this is just establishing some fence lines. So what I'll do is real quickly step through the bill. If you go to page 2, 35.11.15.02 is the application to site a high-level radioactive waste facility and the requirements and the payment of costs. Notice on line 8, that the cost for the permit has been raised from $500,000 to $800,000. This is a pay-as-you-go, pay-your-way program. The state's not going to put up any cash to help anybody get to this who wants to do this. So as you read down through this, the consistent language is that initial deposit shall be adjusted for inflation as we work on this. So those people wanting to do this, if they want to do this, we'll be paying the way for all of this to get done, and if the costs increase, they will bear those costs also. That's a very important thing to take away from this. The state is not getting into any sorts of giveaways here. So if we go and move down to page 4, line 14, Section 35.11.15.03, the preparation of the report by the department, except otherwise provided in this subsection, the department shall, within, and we changed this 18 to 21 days because we didn't feel that, well, it was changed from 18 to 21 because they didn't feel that that was enough time to adequately for the department to do that report and get us what we needed. Keeping in mind that the reports and the public hearings and everything are part of this process. So it's key integral to this. Remember, we're setting up a framework. We're deciding whether we want to do this as a state of Wyoming. We are going through this step by step with public comment and the agencies, along with the legislature, being right at that table as a prime participant. So if we go down to page 5, which is 3511-1504, public review of any report for the siting of high-level radioactive waste storage facility submission to the legislature. And this just outlines how that report will be done and when it will be given to the legislature. We'll go down a little bit farther. The director shall hold public hearings. Again, emphasis on the public hearings, having the input in here of those people who might be in these areas where we would look at these siting places. So following public review of the report as provided in this section, but in no event before the United States Department of Energy issues a final environmental impact statement. Now, we are on page 6. This is where we strike the language that refers to the federal government's permanent facility that is pretty much dead in the water. So the important takeaway from this paragraph is line 3, where the impact statement, if you strike that, it says, in accordance with law, along with a license application. And then we strike that other part. A permanent repository for high-level radioactive waste, the director shall submit a report to the legislature. Basically, reduce this to temporary storage. We are not going to be in the business of permanent storage. This is temporary storage. And keep in mind, is at that point, when we get into the nuclear business in this state, we may be needing this facility to take care of some of our own waste as we step up our own nuclear extraction and mining and milling in the future of this state. So I would prefer that we were driving the bus on this whole situation from A to Z when it comes to dealing with nuclear materials and the federal government on this, because we all know that we work faster and better than them. Let's go through the rest of this. Let's go to the bottom of page 7, line 20. I'll just highlight another one. Appropriate time shall be afforded the director, the governor, the management council, and the applicant to prepare and evaluate preliminary agreement and study, but neither the state nor the applicant shall, emphasis on the shall, unnecessarily delay the feasibility agreement and study. So that means that whether you like it or not, or whether you just have issues with it, we're not going to let you bog this down. Thank you. If everything is going the way it should be, then we're going to push forward for it. And then there's another shall in the next line. But at that point, I think you got the gist of it. And at that point, at this point, I would ask for an aye vote and stand for questions.
We are on the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File Number 6. And ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, if you'll turn to page 5, line 18, you'll see that we're on the public review of any report portion of this statute. So I want to tell the body first that this has never happened before. We've never set up an industrial radioactive dumping site in the state of Wyoming. So this is envisioning if we were to have to do this. So this entire piece of legislation is just cleaning up sideboards if we're going to go through with that, and that's exactly what this amendment does. What this does is reinserts the stricken language. So the director shall hold public hearings throughout the state. That's the reinserted part, to receive comments on the report. So basically what I'm asking you to do is that if we ever do a radioactive dumping site in the state of Wyoming, this is a throughout the state conversation that we have. This is a headwater state. We got a lot of water moving throughout the state. So with that, I'd stand for any questions on the amendment.
Question having been called, all those in favor of committee of the whole amendment? Whoa, okay, we're going to slow down. Majority floor leader, Miller.
Just on and against the amendment and for the bill. And, you know, everyone's talking. Some people come back to me and ask me what's going on. And so I guess I have to talk on this. I really didn't want to. You know, someone was saying, well, we don't have any of these sites in Wyoming right now. Well, we actually do. We have a number of DOE-managed sites. Some are out in the Gas Hills on the county where I'm from and the county to the east. That you know, it was a famous district, you know. But anyway, there's three DOE sites there. There's another site near the town that used to be called Home on the Range, if anyone knows that area of the state. And there's a couple of sites in another county to the east of there in the area of Shirley Basin. There's a couple of sites there. And frankly, there's even one by the bringer of this amendment that's actually probably the most hazardous site in the state up by his hometown that I'm not even for sure it's monitored by the DOE anymore. It goes back, I believe as a radar installation during the Cold War years, and I know it as the longest successfully operating nuclear power plant in the U.S. prior to 1970. But again, I'm not for sure how they monitor that. There might be a plaque there or something like that, but I've run into these things where the government has done something and they don't monitor it very well. But anyway, this has nothing to do with that. This is looking at the power plant waste and temporary storage until they decide to recycle it. You know, this is something that we should be doing in this industry. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, and I just have one real problem with it. It's the amendment would say the director shall hold public hearings throughout the state to receive comments, and I don't have any definition of what throughout the state means. Is that every town with a population larger than 10? Is it in the middle of the desert west of here? It says throughout. A lot of these will say, you know, five meetings held in certain places. Throughout is so loosely defined, it could mean anything and is merely just a delaying tactic on the legislation, on and against the amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on and for this piece of legislation. I'm not trying to kill the bill. What I am trying to do, though, and a lot of you probably saw the big stir when this legislation was first coming up. It made a lot of news. A lot of folks are concerned about this. And so what this does is it allows individuals, citizens throughout the state of Wyoming to be informed about this. We heard the good majority floor leader talk about existing sites that already exist in the state of Wyoming. He's absolutely right. Those are through our federal family, you could so speak. And a lot of those, that one that's up in my neck of the woods, is not monitored. And they've done a horrible job with it. However, nothing has gone through this. And that's what we're expecting the state of Wyoming to do, is to have a higher definition of what's actually going to be going through. So we heard the question was, what specifically is defined as throughout the state? Well, let the director cite that. Surely he can figure that out. I just want a little bit more sideboards on in regards to, instead of just the director shall hold public hearings to receive comments on the report. I'll remind you, it used to state throughout the state in the legislation, and nothing happened. All right? So this isn't gonna derail anything. All it is reinserting language that for some reason was pulled out during the interim. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On in support of the amendment, my name's on the amendment, and on in support of the bill. So the bill just, I was in the interim. The bill is just a cleanup bill. Really, we had a set of statutes that was really old that really didn't comport with what goes on today. And the reason it's timely is because the federal government is in the middle of rulemaking, and they have been for some time, to decide what they'll eventually do with waste storage. And so it was timely at this time in Wyoming's history to go, okay, let's just fix these statutes, bring them up to speed. But I also like this amendment because it really provides transparency throughout the state. There was a lot of concern when this bill came out. There's nothing wrong with this bill. And I don't think there's anything wrong with storing nuclear waste. But what is wrong is if we don't have a very transparent process and the public doesn't have the opportunity to clearly get involved. And this just makes the process more transparent. So on and for the amendment and for the bill.
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to belabor the point, but I support the concept of the amendment, but I'm not going to support this particular amendment. And this is the reason why, is if you look at the language on page 5, the language used to say, to the extent practical, the director shall hold public hearings throughout the state to receive comments on the report. So that would be a report on one of these temporary facilities that they would only receive application for if the United States has a permanent site. Okay? Now, this to the extent practical was pulled out so that they would say that the director shall hold hearings. Okay? Now, do I believe that those hearings should be held in multiple locations? Yes, I do. But I would like to see an amendment that has more specificity than this particular amendment. So with that, I rise in opposition to it, but I do like the concept.
Question? Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising in opposition to the amendment for the same reason that previous speakers have stated. We've shown that the will of the body is not to waste time and money. Let's not hamstring the department here by making them do extra effort to go out and just satisfy a statutory requirement that could allow them to spend more money and time that's necessary. Keeping in mind that provision that I read you on the back page, that nobody shall basically waste your time doing this. So on and against the amendment for the bill, and with that I call for the question.
Question on the amendment? All those in favor of the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has passed. We're back on the bill. Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Greer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 6 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Bill has passed. Senate File 6 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 7. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 7, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, Bank Service Corporations, an act relating to banks, banking, and finance. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 7, engrossed, Bank Service Corporations, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Ayer, Claussen, Crank, Byrd, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Greer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises, report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 7 do pass. I don't believe there is a standing committee amendment. Am I correct in that?
That's correct.
Okay. So with that, I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from House District 19.
Representative Ayer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hopefully we can get through this bill pretty quickly since we're up against the lunch hour. This bill is an interim committee-sponsored bill from the Minerals Committee in collaboration with the banking industry, the state banking regulatory agency, and it really is designed to bring our statutes regarding bank service corporations into the modern times. The current bills were made to govern bank service corporations when they were small and local. These bank service companies are now large and national in nature. Banking transactions are now digital and mobile. The bill is needed to modernize our statutes and reflect this new service industry. State law currently covers only two service corp companies that are owned by two or more banks. It does not cover independent companies, which is what nearly all of them are now. So I'll just go through the bill beginning on page 1, line 12 and 13. The bill allows a bank to invest a portion of its capital in a bank service corporation and removes the requirement of at least two. On page 2, lines 2 and 3, the bill clarifies that this statute is limited to the services that are covered under this article, guarding against any possible regulatory overreach. And I might point out that the representatives from the telecom industry appreciated the work on this bill in making sure that they were not inadvertently drug under the regulatory being regulated by this bill. And the way it's worded, it makes sure that those telecom companies were clearly excluded from regulation. On lines 11 through 14, on page 2, it authorizes the banking commissioner to share with a bank any information that may indicate a problem with their service provider. Lines 22 and 23 at the bottom of page 2 expands the definition of bank services to include modern technology services, and then up onto the beginning of page 3 as well. Other changes on page 3 bring the definition of the bank service corporation consistent with the Federal Bank Service Company Act and recognizes the LLC ownership structure. On page 4, beginning on page 5, the bill gives authority to the banking commissioner to undertake the activities listed, such as entering into cooperative agreements, accepting reports. Down on line 20, entering into contracts with bank supervisory agencies. And then over on the top of page 5, entering into a joint examination or joint enforcement actions. Paragraph J on line 11 ensures that the state does not waive any of its sovereign immunity. And then the repealer on section 2, line 15, just deletes the section of law that dealt with the dissolution of the former two-party agreement, which was eliminated and on page 1. So with that brief explanation, I move adoption of the bill, and we'll try to answer any questions.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Greer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 7 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 7 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise for the purpose of lunch and sit again at 2 p.m.
All right. The Committee of the Whole is in recess until 2. Oh. Well, let's back up and have committee announcements. Mr. Chairman.
Which?
Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenue Committee number 3 will not be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Great news. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet in 10 minutes in H-38 to consider three bills, Senate File 133, engrossed post-mortem despoiling penalties, Senate File 154, sex offender registration accessories, and Senate File 115, engrossed malicious cruelty to animals.
Chairman's wanted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, corporations, will meet in 5 minutes to hear the following three bills, Senate File 15, special district budget requirements, Senate File 18, special district public records, BOCES, and Senate File 102, Board of County Commissioners designee zoning certificates.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, travel, will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, at 8 a.m. in H-38 to consider Senate File 90, engrossed allocation of complimentary hunting licenses, and Senate File 86, engrossed game and fish permits.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, February 10th at 8 a.m., Jonah Room H37. We will first consider Senate File 48, Farm Loan Program Amendments, then Senate File 100, Engrossed Limited Liability Companies, and depending upon the time, we will hear Senate Journal, or Joint Resolution, excuse me. Number 2, Federal Land, Wind, and Solar Energy Revenue State Share. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet upon adjournment to discuss Senate File 53, Engrossed, Veterans Hiring Preference. Senate File 54, Engrossed, Military Spouse Hiring Preference, and Senate File 19, Engrossed, Snowplow Lights.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 4, Education, will meet in Friday at noon recess in H38, where we continue Senate File 34, Student Personal Digital Information Protection Act, and Senate File 35, Virtual Education.
Okay, are there any other announcements? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10 will meet Friday, February 10th upon noon recess to hear three bills, Senate File 163, Department of Family Services Statutory Amendments, Senate File 67, CHIP Program Amendments, and Senate File 69, Small Employer Health Reinsurance Program Amendments, if time permits. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any further announcements? Okay, we'll stand in recess until promptly 2 p.m.